Guidance in life. How many of you know need guidance in your life? You need guidance from God. You all the time. I need guidance. Hey, I've already. We have more than we could fit in the bus. We brought them in different loads, so I just need God's wisdom of how to get home today. You say, oh, big deal. We'll get them home, but I have certain things we do with the kids on the ride home, and I'd like the new kid to do that, and I just. Right place that God has ordained at the right time, just decisions, and then there's big decisions. I had a pretty serious hauler this morning, was having a pretty serious issue, and I had to have guidance this morning, really. It'll affect his life and a couple lives. And so God, all of us have big decisions and all of us, big and small, that we need to decide. Today we're talking about guidance, being guided forward, Exodus 6. And it says, and they took a journey from Elim, all the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, 15th day of the second month, for their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. That's the fun of leading. Everybody's mad at God. And the children of Israel said unto them, to God, we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. And when we sat by the flesh pots, and we bred the foal, for you brought us forth unto this wilderness to kill this assembly with hunger. And so here is Israel, of course, delivered from Egypt. And then they go out into the, and they're traveling with Moses and Aaron. They get upset about their circumstances. They got hungry. And they say, well, we wish we would have died back in Egypt. And their mind begins to wander back to Egypt. I don't want to talk about being guided forward and not burn in life. Let's pray. Father, through the chance to teach your word, I pray that, Lord, we be blessed and spoken to and encouraged today, Lord. I pray that, Father, that the word of God would please guide us, Lord, into guidance. Lord, we need guidance of how to be guided, Lord, and how to find guidance from you and your word. And Lord, these big principles help us make decisions. And I pray you'd help these things. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In some of the guidance, I will teach you, when you're in this circumstance, you do this. Proverbs does that. Proverbs says, this: if you do this, usually happens. If you don't do this, this usually happens. And sometimes the lessons on guidance are not specific thing in your life, direction in it. And the next time I teach on this, I will be teaching on a way of guidance and a way of that makes most of your decisions for you. And if you understand principles, and here's a key thing about guidance. If you understand principles, big principles make a lot of small decisions for you. And if you try to decide every little decision individually and put it by itself and try to think through every single decision, you'll find you'll get very confused and make a lot of decisions, and you'll get confused and overwhelmed. But big principles make a lot of small decisions. For example, seek ye first the kingdom of God is a decision. It's a principle, a principle. It's not one little command. Seek ye first is a principle that is a command, but that decides about my finances. I'm going to seek kingdom first. That decides about my relationship. I'm going to seek God's kingdom first. And so a lot of little decisions are made by decisions. For example, if you say I'm an honest person, okay, that's one big thing about you. It's one principle. I am an honest person. So when all of a sudden somebody drops their money and doesn't see it, to decide whether you're going to give the money back, you already are a person. If somebody somebody leaves their wallet in the seat, do you decide whether you're going to take the money out of the wallet and leave it there? No, you don't have to decide that. You already decide on this person. So it's a thousand of a circumstance. You don't have to decide every single time, am I going to be honest in the decision? You decide to be an honest person, and that makes all decisions for you. And the principle here today is you go forward in life. And Israel began to look backward enough. They were told they're going to go to the promised land flowing with milk and honey, and they're now going to where God wants them, into a wonderful, wonderful place, a rich land. And yet their mind would go backward to Egypt that they despise and didn't want to be at. And one of the principles in life that will guide you is do not go backward in your life. Always forward in your life. You are to progress. The Bible phrases it many ways. You grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Anything that stagnates, you drink water, better not drink out of a stagnant pond. It's full of bad stuff. But go to a flowing river that's going somewhere. And in your life, you do not get stagnant. You don't go backward, because when you, your whole life becomes bad and stagnant and principled and it's not a thing. Numbers chapter 11. Let me take and continue this story a little bit. Numbers chapter 1. Israel began to look backward, Numbers 7, verse 4. And the mixed multitude was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also again, and said, Who shall give us flesh to eat? We were the fish which we did eat in Egypt, and the cucumbers, and the melons, and the leeks, and the onions, and the garlic. But now our soul is dry, and there is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. And the manna was a coriander seed, and the color thereof, the color of bedulum, and the people went about and did it in their mills, and in mortar, and baked it in pans, and made cakes. And the taste of it was like a taste of fresh oil, and the dew fell upon the damp camp in the night, and manna fell about it. And so they began to say, you know what, we went back to Egypt, we were back in there, we had the melon, we had the cucumbers, we had the leeks, we had bread, we had all these wonderful things, onions, and all these different things. They say, we were back in Egypt. They came out of Egypt, and they're looking back to Egypt, but God didn't want them to go backward. They wanted them to go backward. Let me give you just a few here. Number one, do not look back because you left that place for a reason. You left that place for a reason, and left the world for a reason as a Christian. They left it. Now there they say, look how full it was. Verse 5, we are fish, which we did eat in Egypt freely, and the cucumbers and the melons, and we just got this meh. We want so something else. We want this. We want stuff from Egypt. Well, let's look back at Egypt. And in Exodus chapter 2. Actually, Exodus 1. It says in verse 16, and he said, when you do the office of wife to an Hebrew woman and see them upon the coast, if it be a son, then shall ye kill him, and if it be a daughter, then shall ye live. Okay? So first of all, they had a boy. When they had a baby, they killed the boy. Was Egypt all that great? Okay, you had onions and some watermelons, and you had to kill your boys, boy babies. If you go to chapter 2, in verse 23, and it came up in the process of time, the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by bondage, and they cried, and their cry came unto God, reason of the bondage. And then chapter 3, and they're crying to God because they're bondage. And verse 9, now therefore behold, cry, the children of Israel is come unto me, also seeing the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. You act because you left there for a reason. Okay, you remember onions and melons and fish. Okay, there's a few things. However, you were also slaves, being whipped and beaten and having to kill your firstborn every day, and you're crying because of how bad they oppressed you and hurt you and tortured you and your children everybody, and you left it for a reason. It make a lot of sense, except for I think the Bible starts the devil stealing his seed away. The devil can our memories and make us forget things. When the devil is tempting you and you are getting tempted to go back to an old bad thing, to go backward, the devil gives you a selective memory of only the good things. Listen, if I decided to think wrongly of my old life, there were some fun things that I got to do. However, there is a whole emptiness and misery and hopelessness and life without God and lack of purpose. And you know what? I left for a reason. If it was great, why wouldn't I still be there? And so many people they go backward in their life and say, I'm going to go back because all you think about is how you were in certain circumstances. Can I just tell you something? When you decide you want something and you don't lose your will, you will begin to justify and think of the good. Doesn't matter how bad a girlfriend or boyfriend was. If you want to go back to them, you have some fond memories. Well, we did have some times. Yeah, but why did you break up? Well, he hates her. She's mean and nasty and hits me with rulings. But you know, we had a good time. Okay. If you want to forget the bad and the reason you left something and go toward Israel, if you want to go back to that, and listen, why would you want to go back? When the devil tempts you to go back to alcohol, he will never make you think of hangover. He just won't. He'll make you think of the highlight of your party when you're... He'll never make you think about the illness or the tiredness or the misery, health, or your beer belly or anything else. He'll make you think of the fun times you had again and trying to capture again. And you go back and try to capture it, and then why you left it. but now you're drinking. That's the way it goes. Same thing. People go back to sin. People go back to drugs. Listen, and the worst thing is, sometimes in the back of their mind, they say, you know what? There's a reason I'm doing this. I don't want to do this anymore. Yeah, drugs are fun. Some. And there's highlights of taking drugs. However, there's a reason a lot of people try to quit them. Destroy your life, it makes you miserable, it makes you, I mean, there's a thousand things, but you know what, when the devil tries to get you, all you'll think about is when you're high and how much fun you had at that one party. Do not listen to the devil and let him tell you, it is great back there in Egypt, world, in a sinful life. The devil will remind you the highlights, and if you're not wise and think of the lowlights, you will go back to what you left for a reason. You left it for a reason, Israel. Don't you forget that? You had taskmasters. They're with you. They're beating you. They took your children from you and made them slaves, your girls, because you had no, because you had to kill all your boys that were born. You want to go back to that? And the Lord's going, I'm not parting the Red Sea to go back to Egypt. No, it's a miserable place of slave bondage. And the world and the old life is a miserable place. And the world is so amazing at that. If you look at a beer commercial, they're not showing a big fat guy throwing up with a hangover. Commercial. There's three beauty men hanging off of him and he's at a party. Okay? And you big fat 35-year-old guy watching the football game, that's not going to happen to you if you drink that beer. If you don't know that. It's not your butt. Don't make you wiser. And it's not gonna do any of that for you. And wine is a mocker, and strong is raging, and whosoever is deceived there is not wise. But they advertise like that. They don't show smoking commercials a picture of a person with an oxygen tank and a mask on their face, emphysema, trying to get their next breath. Then I can remind you of that. They'll just show you the guy smoking a cigarette and some girl off him, or the girl at a party with all her friends and wealth. That's what they said. And our dumb society, oh, okay, I'll drink that beer. Because that do the same thing the devil always does. You go for that, it's going to make you happy. People leave it for a reason. And same thing, backslide. Listen, I've watched many people slide. Probably the biggest thing in my life. Sometimes I love Jesus enough. Sometimes spiritual enough. Sometimes I'm too busy to go back to the world. But you know what? Many times, you know, it happens when somebody goes away from the Lord and watch them deteriorate and watch their misery. Man, I got a person right now so dark and so miserable. And literally, I could chart it for you. Literally, 100% of the time. When they're going to church, they're going up and doing great. And 100% of them, there's never an exception, when they quit going to church, way, 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 way down. And then you say, well, God help me. I'm miserable. God isn't helping me. Because you haven't been letting God in your life. 100% of the time when they do that, I look at who go away from the Lord and I see them come back, see them in the world, and they're miserable. And they're empty. Jesus came that we might have life, might have more abundantly. Why would I want to go back into the world? I'm not going to forget where it was. Do not look back because you... Do not go back because you left it for a reason. Number two, the Lord's way is forward. The Lord's way is... Let's go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, and we'll go to Jeremiah chapter 7. So I have many people who experience a lot of sin and don't learn to hate it. They go into it because they've never seen it. They've seen the advertising. And they don't see the reality of it. Listen, I grew up seeing the damage alcohol. I saw it in my dad. I saw it in my people around. I saw the destruction it brings. You know, it's... Why do I want to go back? It's just not worth it. There's so many areas like that. Going back to a boyfriend, a girlfriend, going back... To a bad way of life. Going back and quitting going to church and go back even for the world. There's many ways you can go back. Jeremiah chapter 7 in verse 22. For I spake not unto your father nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning offerings and sacrifice. But this commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, I'll be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. But they hearkened not, nor inclined ear, but walked in the counsel and imagination of their evil heart, and went backward, and not forward. They went backward, and not forward. Always forward. Can I tell you that? Going forward, conquering, doing great. It doesn't matter where you are in your life. Can I just say, if you're way, way, way here, I mean, fresh out of a rough, terrible sin life, your way is forward with God. And if you're down this path and you're serving, you're getting the victory, the path is still victory. And if you're way up here and you're a mature Christian and pretty strong, there's some things to work on, isn't there? some things for me to work on. And the path is forward. It's doing more for God. It's standing still. It's not becoming dead and dry and stale and just not moving anywhere. It is going forward. They went backward, not forward. It's growing. It's becoming better. It's becoming a better spouse. It's becoming a better husband. It's becoming a better wife, a better parent, a better child. It's becoming a better employee. It's becoming a better boss. It's becoming a better Christian. It's becoming better at church. It's loving Jesus more. God's way is always forward, and God will guide your life forward and backward. Let me say this. God's not idleness. Acts chapter 1. The way of God is never you to be idle and stay where you are. God wants to take you somewhere. Acts chapter 1 and verse 11. He said, "Ye men of Galilee, why are ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you and shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him in heaven." Literally, Jesus had just ascended to heaven, and they watched him go up into the cloud, and they're just standing there for a while. And an angel comes by. Why are you just standing there staring up into heaven? Jesus is coming back in the same way he went up into heaven. Get busy. Now, they're getting busy was to go back to the upper room and pray. But can I say this? They're just going forward. You got to go reach the world. Listen, folks, I just think in your life, be a more productive person, a person, and be better guide in your life. If is this going to take me anywhere productive? And I think in all of your life, you should be more and more going forward and productive. I think your finances. I think you should say, I'm gonna get better at my finances. I'm gonna handle them better. I'm gonna get better relationships. You know what? I'm not very good at thing right here. I'm not very good at public speaking. I'm not very good at talking to people. I'm not very good at this or witnessing. And say, I'm gonna get better at that. I'm going forward. I'm not going to stay idle. I'm going to just keep going and be in a mediocrity. I'm going to sit here. Listen, if you're going to college, go and get your credits and go forward. But do stay in life. God's way is to get better and better and go forward in life. And not in sin ways, but in productive ways in life. Don't just stand there idle. God's not a God of doing nothing. God is not a God of just staying still and staying in the same spot. There's too much to do. We need to win more people, pray more, love Jesus more. There's an unlimited potential of things to do in life. Idleness in the Bible is bad. Let me take you back to Proverbs. Idleness is bad in the Bible. I'm going to be in Proverbs 31. I'm going to read some other verses on being idle. Proverbs 31, verse 27, talking about the virtuous woman. She looketh well to the way of household and eateth not the bread of idleness. She doesn't just sit around and do nothing. It's a bad way to live. And then 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. I can get there. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Not being idle. Verse 12, that having damnation, they have cast off their first faith. Withal, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. Timothy 5, 12 and 13. Idle. Listen, you know what the Great Commission? Go. It's going. It's doing something. It's going forward. It's go reach the world. Listen, folks. Oh, listen to me. Drives me crazy. This life is a full life. This life has so much purpose. This life is so much to do. This life is prepared for eternity. There is no time to lay around on the couch for weeks at a time. Life, you have to go out there and conquer something. Well, work, well then go out there and win a lot of Christ. Learn to pray. Do something productive. Go forward. God's way is never idle and it's never backwards. What does God do with his life? I can just stay where I am, just kind of hang around. That's not, trust me. God's will is to do more. God's will is to go forward. God's will is helping people and going to the world and reaching the world and helping and doing something with your life. Do something with your life to lead us forward. What can you do more for God than you're doing right now? How can you be better than you are right now? If an angel walked up and said, "You need to improve something. Tell me what it is wrong. I'm going to cut your head off with a sword." Could you tell him what you need to fix? Could you tell him, then, you know what? Work on it. You know your life will become really empty. Just quit trying and quit improving and just say, or it'll become miserable because you keep going to the same old thing. Isn't it time you're being the same you've always been? Are you happy with what you've always been? Are you going to go forward? Being idle, God's way is always forward in your life. And that God, if he threw better things forward and new and conquering things. Next, even looking backward makes you unfit for the kingdom of God. Even looking backward makes you unfit for the kingdom of God. Luke chapter 9. I got two or three things I'm working on as a preacher, and I've been on for a while to try to improve that. The most important thing is preaching the word of God and the power of God, but you know what? I'm trying to improve some things. And I'm trying to, there are a couple things in my own life I'm trying to fix. Working. And you know what? I might take a step back. I want to go take two steps forward at the word. Keep working on that. And look back. You're not fit for God's kingdom. Luke and chapter 9, end of the chapter, verse 57. And it came to pass as they went away, a certain man said unto them, Lord, I follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. And he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me to go bury my father. And Jesus said, dead bury their dead, but go and preach the kingdom of God. And another so said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said, no man, having put his hand to the plow and back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Says if a farmer goes out, if you're in a spiritual thing, put your hand to the plow, the work of God, and then looking back and saying, what was I going to do? The old thing. Shortest verses in the entire Bible, but it's a very powerful verse. It says, remember Lot's wife. What did Lot's wife do? She looked back at the old life and she turned to salt. She looked back. And folks, if you are looking back at the old life, you can't plow a straight line in front of you. I mean, you're plowing, you're looking, look at that, and you're going all over the place, not plowing the right kind of line. When you get married, you never look back at either woman or man. When you put your hand to the plow and you start serving God, never look back at life and say, you know what, what was I missing? No, never look back. You keep your forward. You know, Christians, the problem is they just keep on looking back and looking in the world, and they don't have a very good line for God because they can't decide, oh, God, do I want to go to the church? Do I want to go serve the world? Do I want to have fun and make a lot of money? Do I want to the Lord? Do I want to pray and reach people? Do I want to, people to like me? And they keep looking back and forth. Pick a side, folks. Luke 11:23, that is not with me is against me. Either gathereth not with, scattereth. And Lot's wife decided to look back, and she was destroyed. Do not look back because you're not fit for the kingdom of God. Next, live your life pushing towards something. In chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Because God's way is if you live your life pushing towards something. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for I have suffered the loss of all things. And do count them but dumb, I may win Christ. Notice this, a focused person with very purpose goals, and if he's going somewhere. I'm all things I'll lose, since the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. And be found in him, not having own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. 13, brethren, account not myself that I have apprehended this one thing I do, forget those things which are behind. Reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the praise of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said, I am getting the things which are behind, and I am reaching forth unto those things which are before. I am pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus. He is going somewhere and doing. You see, Pastor Brian, I'm wondering if God wants to go to church Sunday morning and Sunday night or just morning. The way of God is always forward. Should I read a chapter or two chapters? I'm reading one right now. Probably better off reading two. The way of God is forward, and Paul is pressing towards something, the mark. Listen, it says every man that strives for mastery is temperate in all things. What that means, anybody who wants to be the best and do something great, they control everything else in their entire life. If a boxer wants to be a great boxer, he better control his diet, his time, his school, his sleeping schedule. It does. A gymnast's entire life is being a gymnast. A great bicycle. Lance Armstrong didn't get was eating Twinkies and bitters. He trained his whole life was in a biker. What when you focus on something and you go toward a goal? And here's the thing about that. Even a secular person who isn't even serving God will be a better and more moral person when they're working something. There are still go to college and study and do well in college, and they go forward and they take care of things. They aren't in the parties every single day because they want good grades and to graduate. And then there's some people who are at college just hanging around. I remember there was a big article. It was the stupidest article in the world. It was in a paper years ago. It was a sad article about these poor parents who sent their son to a very expensive school, and this was years ago when I read this article, and I think they're paying $27,000 a year for his education, and this kid was, all he was doing is getting drunk day and night. He wasn't going to, he's flunking every class, and there was videos of him and all the stupid things he was doing when he was partying were everywhere, and the parents called the university and said, my son is just doing this stuff, you need to stop him, and how the college would not help with their poor son by making him stop partying. And they're wasting their money and all this money to this college, and this is just wasting it, not even going to class, studying, not even taking his test. And I thought, that kid ain't getting any money from me. I don't need to call the college. I know the solution. Hey, buddy, pay your own bill. And I thought, you know, just go to college, just dink around. Some people go work. Boy, you ever been around simple? You ever been around somebody who they work harder at not working than they do at working? They're just always looking for it. Is very, very hard. I remember a friend of mine talking to the guy, and this guy would, his whole day was always trying to find a spot where the wouldn't go. It was a big factory, and he'd always trying to find a spot, a factory where nobody could catch him sleeping. And he would look so hard for that spot. And he would, and boy, he'd find him. But he'd run all day, just planning for the next day, crawl into a cubbyhole and sleep for 2 or 3 hours, partying all night. And that was his whole thing. And he ended up getting fired because they caught him sleeping in some cubbyhole somewhere. And it's like, you know, it's harder to do that than it is to work. I mean, come on. And in life, if you are focused, people in life, even secular people, if they're going towards something and focused on doing something, they have a whole bunch of time for a bunch of foolish, sinful things. Did you know, though? You give me a person who's going to become a doctor, strangely enough, even not a Christian, sometimes will be more moral than the average idle Christian. Because the average idle Christian is just sitting there going, what am I going to do today? Huh, what's on the internet? What's on TV? There's nothing on TV during the day watching. Football isn't on. You can watch midget throwing Jerry Springer, and I married my wife's dog and all that like that. It ain't worth watching, folks. Throw it away. It's just not even worth on TV. What should I do? Time. I guess I'll just go down to the mall. Man, you're nuts. That's torture. I'm just going to go walk around in the mall and look at which term that was from the Bible. I'd love it. Thou shalt get a life. I wish there. Get a life. There's so much to do in life. Before I'd sit around nothing, and just go, what should I do with my nothing to do? Look. A wall. Let me read the phone book. You know what? Before you do that, go down and pick up your neighborhood or something. Be idle. I bring sinfulness and wickedness and not do nothing. Push towards something in life. What are you trying to get in your life? I'm going to go back to college today. You've been saying that for 8 years. If you're going to go to college, go to college. If not, go get a job and work. Push your towards something. And by the way, push your life towards eternal things. I tell people this oftentimes when people are not getting anywhere in life. I say you need to be able to define your life in one sentence, define your life right now. Well, you know, I'm just kind of living, trying to pay the bills and, you know, have some friends. No, that's your problem right there. You don't know where you're going in life. Every one of you should be able to define your life, what you're trying to do right now, in one sentence. I'm trying to turn out good kids. I'm trying to serve the Lord and prepare for eternity. Or I'm trying to go and right now I'm serving by going to college or I'm trying to catch up my bills right now by working tuition and trying to win some souls, learn the souls of Christ. You ought to be able to, your life ought to be focused. I press toward them for the prize, the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I'm trying to win Christ. I am trying this right here, and I'm pushing towards something. Yes, everything in our life is pushing towards Christ and living for Him and serving Him. Yet in between there, God, you're going to work for Jesus. What you're doing for the Lord and not for men. And God may have led you to go to college, or God may have led you to work at this place, or God may have led you to do this thing, but you're doing something in your life. And by the way, you might be taking it off on purpose. I'm resting today because God wants me to rest for a day. That is planned rest, and I think planned rest is important. And you are a focused person in life. If you do not get focused, you will not get anywhere. And a couple things here. If you do what you've always done, you will always have what you've already got. If you always do what you don't expect, the insanity is trying. If you do the same thing a different over and over, you'll end up with a different result. If you do not plan for your life to get any better, if you're going to do this, you've always done. Live with a focus in your life. The Lord is not guiding you back. And let me show you with this. The Lord is not guiding you back into sin. What does God want me to do? Want me to go back to this this unsaved friend, this unsaved girlfriend? No. God has never guided you into sin. Spirit and the Word and the Father agree in one, and the Word says, I do that. You don't have to worry about whether He's guiding you. Does God guide me to not church anymore? No, God's never guiding you into sinful sin. I hear that stuff. Oh, God's leading me to go do this thing, and it's unbiblical. Never guide you against His Word. God's schizophrenic. Never guide you against His Word. God never guides you into bad relationships. He guides you forward in a better relationship. He will never guide you to where you will not go forward and do more. God never sends you to church where you'll do less God and where you'll be unproductive for Him. God will send you to a good church where you're going to do more for Him and more. God, by the way, I don't learn anything at this church, but they got some great music. God is not going to guide you to that church. God is not going to do that church. But the music's so good. I know I don't learn much, but God's guiding me. God is not going to guide you where you don't learn much. God's not going to guide you to bad habits. He's not going to guide you to a job that takes you away from Him. Did you hear that? God is not going to guide you to a job that's moral or a job that'll take you out of church. God's always guiding you forward. God is not going to guide you back to Egypt. And God will never guide you to stop serving Him because you mess up. Think of Psalms 51, we'll finish up there. Psalms 51. God will never guide you to stop serving Him because you mess up. This is an important point here. Because somebody goes off and they mess up, and they don't do the right thing in their life, and they may be real bad, like the writer of Psalm 51. And in Psalm 51, some people say, well, God just doesn't want me back at church. God does not want me to go serve Him now. Or God does not tell people about Jesus because I've been so bad or I've done some terrible things. God never guides you to do nothing for Him. God guides you to fail for Him. God guides you to weakness and failure. God guides you to go back and serve Him after you mess up. Psalm 51, finish up with these, verse 9. It says, hide thy face from my sin, blotted all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy spirit. Notice, then will I transgressors thy ways. Sinners shall be converted unto thee. He says, I've messed up, and I've fallen, and I've not done what I should do. But you know what the amazing thing is? If, Lord, you will forgive me, then I will go forward, and I will convert sinners unto you. What a wonderful, wonderful thing it is here in the Bible. It says, after he messed up, he says, God is going to guide me back to serving Him. And listen, the guidance of God, and I'll finish up with this, the guidance of God, even if you're off track, is to get back on track and go do His work again. No matter how much you feel you failed or you're not what you need, God's guidance is always back on track and to do more for Him. And that's what we see here in verse 13. Then will I transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall convert unto thee after he'd fallen. The wonderful thing it is, God guides us forward and not backwards. All right, I'm going to go ahead and pray and be dismissed. We'll have to move back into about 13 minutes for our 11 o'clock. Let's pray together. Give us productive lives, Lord, as we go forward. Lord, help us not to be idle. Help us not to stay where we always were. Help us not to go backward. Lord, help us not to just stay there in mediocrity, Lord, but help us to go forward. Lord, there's so many things in life, and life is so full and so rich, or it can be so empty and unfulfilling if we're not going forward, Lord. Thank you for your word. Lord, help us not to be like Israel, trying to go back to Egypt, Lord, when they just were miserable. And may we not go back to where we were miserable, Lord, after you've delivered us from it. Help us to always go forward, and thank you for the word of God that teaches us this. Bless us to follow, Father. We thank you. We get to be together. And I pray we'd have a great time serving you in this service to follow. This in Jesus' name. Amen. You're listening until church time. Thanks for coming.